Welcome back to Coffee with Kojo. This is your student host, Anna Poole, and today we're talking with Bailey Peterson. Bailey, can you give us a little bit of an introduction about where you're from and how you found out about SDSU?
I am Bailey Peterson, like you said. Currently, I am a news anchor here at Dakota News Now. I am from Minnesota, Hutchinson, Minnesota, if anyone's familiar. And I kind of, learned about SDSU. My older brother wrestled there, so did some college visits and really just fell in love with the campus. And it's just a great university to go to.
I would agree with that as a current student. And while you were at SDSU, could you tell us about what you were involved with, why you chose communications to study, and your different minors?
Yeah, I started with political science as my major originally and kind of wanted to be more broad with it and see kind of what I could do. So then added a communications major there, and it was probably one of the best decisions I ever made just because you have great professors, you learn so much that's applicable to real life and kind of a lot of the things I do now. And it really kind of got me on my path to journalism and kind of currently what I do now in the news industry. So
Nice. We like to hear it. So as Bailey said, she made some changes in college. So if you're in the same situation and looking at making some changes or additions, totally fine. She's got a job. She's successful. So it's not going to cause any issues. And you mentioned you're an anchor. So how did you find out about this position? What led you down to Sioux Falls from SDSU?
Yeah, so actually, if I had advice for anyone, it would be I learned about kind of my job through a career fair that we hold, at SDSU. And I would just recommend, everybody attend at least one of the career fairs, if not all of them that are held, because you really do meet a lot of employers. And I just saw the option to intern with, the news agency here at Dakota News Now and was very interested in the position and kind of what that might entail. And so I just started interning here, and that soon turned into a job after I graduated.
And what were some skills or different tasks that you did during your internship that you think set you apart and made you stand out as a potential full-time candidate?
I would say just putting in, the work truly and being flexible and being kind of able to work around your schedule. And I, ended up working a lot of weekends, which I know nobody maybe likes to do that in college, but, sacrificing some of those things and just putting in some hours and really, learning from a lot of professionals helps, and watching what people do that are experts in the industry really helped me learn a lot about journalism and even, camera skills, because I had to learn all of that. And, reporting and asking questions and giving interviews. And you do learn a lot of it, out on the field. And a lot of it I also learned through communications there at SDSU.
When you were in your internship, was there a specific coworker that you talked with the most, or like a mentor that you had, or did you kind of switch up who you were working with?
They sent me with kind of a different reporter every day, kind of whoever was going out on a story or if there was breaking news or kind of just day by day. So I really didn't have a set plan for what I would be doing, but I got to do some investigative journalism with Beth Warden here, which was always really interesting because she covers some really cool stories. And then I got to go with some other reporters, Cordell Wright here. And so I got to know different personalities and different styles of like journalists and kind of how everyone does things a little bit different. You kind of pick up what you like.
And what would you say your style is then after you've had some time and combined those experiences?
I would say my style is very, keep it natural, people want, that personable kind of element is super important to me when I'm interacting, whether it's with, people I'm interviewing or if I'm calling people or working with co-anchors, things like that. I think it's just important to be really authentic, be natural, be yourself, don't overthink things. And, just kind of, if you have a little hiccup, just kind of keep going and don't get so caught up.
I can tell already from this conversation, you definitely just exude that personable atmosphere, and it's super easy to talk with you, get the answers and that kind of thing. So I think you're pretty successful in that area.
Thank you.
Yeah. And when you're looking at stories, do you find all of them yourself? Are you getting recommendations? How does that process work?
So a lot of it is kind of just looking yourself, having, I recommend having different, news sources on your phone. Getting those push notifications, watching news, consuming media, kind of different varieties of media. So you kind of get, an idea of what's going on in the world. And then kind of based on that, we tend to take national stories and maybe localize them. So how is this impacting, our region? How is this impacting South Dakota? Is this something that impacts South Dakotans? How so? Finding people that are experts in that industry, then next. So having ideas, say you're doing a story on, farmers or how their crop is going to be. And so you kind of find farmers and then you ask them the questions. Is this something that, you're hearing? Make calls. And then that kind of is how for stories, form. And then you obviously bring it to your news director and they kind of okay it. And then you're off.
Do you have an example of a story you've taken from the national level and how you've related it down to South Dakota?
Yes. So when there was a building collapse, it was a like garage collapse, I believe it was in Davenport. And when that happened, people here kind of messaged us, is this something that, we have to worry about here in Sioux Falls? Like, are buildings safe? This and that. And I think it's important to put people's minds at ease when stuff like that happens nationally and is so devastating. So kind of localizing that and bringing that here and then interviewing engineers with the city on as far as, we check these, we do routine checks, there's nothing to worry about. I think that's always great. I have even localized like national stories and brought them, here to the US and have people that have families like overseas that are dealing with things and, have maybe lost family members and then kind of interviewing them and getting their perspective on being, here in America while things are happening, over there. So things
Sounds like a
like
lot of background research to kind of figure out what's going to relate the most.
yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you definitely want to look at who's impacted, and then localizing it to the people that really it matters to and want to hear those stories.
Okay. And have you seen trends or noticed anything recently that stories that perform better than others draw more attention? Anything along that?
I would say that's always kind of hard because you never really know what stories are going to really hit or, gain popularity. It sounds pretty crazy, but it could be a story you really think isn't going to be too crazy or do too well. And sometimes those are the stories that really do blow up and people find very interesting, even if it's an event going on or a parade or things like that. Or, breaking news always gets a lot of attention. If something really is going on developing in the area, people want to know. People want to know what's going on, if there's an accident, if there's traffic that is going to be getting moved or roads closed. Like, people need to know those things. So I'd say those stories get the most pushes on them because it's what's going on relevant in their area.
And what's your favorite kind of story to talk about?
Man, okay. That's hard. I like a lot. I've done a lot of different stories. I will say I really like stories that are important to the people I'm interviewing. So when people I interview are really, really passionate about what we're talking about, those are my favorite stories because they tend to be the most authentic. They tend to be the most emotional and kind of have that level of, I'm making a difference. And that's at the end of the day, kind of what every journalist wants to do is make a difference.
I like it. For reference of how long you've been at Dakota News now, could you share with everyone when you interned, when you graduated from SDSU, and any transitions you've had at Dakota News now?
Yes, so I graduated just 2 years ago now from SDSU, I believe. It would be 2 years in May. It'll be 2 years I've graduated. And so I started my internship my senior year in the fall of my senior year of college. And then I interned that whole fall through winter. And then actually in the winter, they had kind of sat me down and said, we really like a lot of the work you're doing here. So would you consider, maybe starting part-time while you're graduating and then maybe doing full-time? So I actually did start part-time on weekends and kind of helped report, during the weekends there while I was kind of graduating. And then as soon as I graduated in May, I started full-time. So it moved really quickly.
Yeah, no kidding. How was it balancing? I mean, you were still in classes trying to finishing up your degree, but also working. So what was it like balancing those two?
It was a lot, and I did keep my job at Chocolatte there in Brookings too. I would work like once a week, I think, there, and then on weekends. So yeah, I mean, it just kind of was giving up my weekends and Saturday, Sunday, I would drive over here to Sioux Falls and get my stories done, and then just head back to Brookings at the end of the night. And I mean, I would say, it takes balance, takes taking time to study, and but I think if you have your mind set on anything, you can find the time management for it.
Yeah, I have heard that from a couple other people we've talked to a lot about time management and learning the style that works best for you. So when
Yes.
you're organizing, what either while you were in school or currently at your job, what type of style or techniques do you find the most effective?
I find it effective to just like if you have your phone on you or a piece of paper or notes or anything like that, write stuff down because I know there's a million things going on in today's day for a lot of people. So getting those thoughts out, whether it's on a piece of paper, whether it's on your phone, I have my notes app on my phone. And so I'm constantly adding story ideas. Like if I'm out and I see something and this could be a story, I write it down quick. Or I write down interview ideas or my grocery list or so anything. You think you want to prioritize, put it on a list. It sounds crazy, but less trips to Walmart to have to go back and get, groceries, things like that. Less, you have to worry about forgetting things. And I think that kind of declutters your head a little bit. So helps with time management as far as making sure you get everything you need to and your priorities done at least.
I'm envisioning a desk that has like 20 different sticky notes of different colors in it, but compiled into one phone that you can just carry with you wherever you go.
Yes, and we definitely, I would say, definitely get good at checking emails. That's very important, especially with my job. I'm constantly sending emails. I do like three interviews a day. So we have people coming in and out. I'm constantly scheduling guests to come in. So I always keep track of those, check emails. I have a whole calendar on my computer. You can make Google calendars with events, people you have. So I think just having ways to keep yourself organized is really important and things you'll stick to. Because I've had a planner. And not everybody can, stick to a planner. So I feel like just finding what works for you is important.
Yeah, how do you keep all the different people you're interviewing straight? To me, I just interview once in a while for the podcast, but three people a day, that's a lot to keep track of.
Yes, we just launched a new 9 a.m. show, and it's like a live lifestyle segment type show. And they kind of asked me to start it and host it. So I've been doing that. So I kind of stopped reporting. So now I've shifted to, hosting. And yeah, we have guests coming in all the time for different events. And so once you kind of build rapport for people here in the community, like you find out who with the city is good to talk to, or we have Meet a Rescue Monday. So we have different rescues come in and they kind of each of them take turns coming in, Mondays. And so that helps. And yeah, just keeping track of all the people and making sure you get names right, spelling, because that's also really important is credibility. So in reporting, making sure you have that first last name. I always ask people, how do you spell it? How do you say it? What's your title? That's like the first thing I ask people because that's very important to get right when you're doing interviews.
Whenever I was emailing you, I was always double checking the spelling because
Yes.
there's tons of ways to spell Bailey. And I was like, I need to make sure I get this correct. So you
Yes.
do the same thing in your work, making sure you're spelling, saying correct titles, which is really important, especially on a live show. You can't undo anything that happens.
Yes, checking supers, checking, titles, everything like that is super important. And all it takes really is just double checking your work. And so I think, in the journalism industry, credibility is huge. So yeah, double checking all your work is very important.
And what does a typical day or routine look like for work now for you as you're making this transition to the lifestyle show?
Yeah, so a typical day is, I get in around 7-ish and the show starts at 9. And so I pre-produce the show. So I also am a producer. So I'll produce the show on the back end of my day. So I get there, get ready usually. Then I look through the show, make sure kind of everything's double checked and, right and spelling's good. And yeah, then we just kind of head in and the show's already built and interview guests are just told to arrive. They go to the front desk, they come in, and then we kind of hold them in a room till they're ready to go. We mic them all up. We have great people that help me out in the production side that get people mic'd, that punch the show, that do all that stuff, which is pretty exciting. And then yeah, we just the show starts and it's all a lot of it's unscripted, a lot of it's kind of hot topics, and then we take fun topics like national, waffle day or things like that. And then we banter about kind of different, trending topics in the world, do some interviews. We do weather in there as well. And then once the show's done, I also do anchor the 11 o'clock news. So I have a break within there and I kind of check that show. And then when that's done, then I kind of have a break. And then, yeah, I sit down and I produce for the next day basically and find content to produce the next show.
Gotcha. So pretty back-to-back busy day. You're just kind of always
It
doing
is.
something.
Yes, people, a lot of people think, news anchors just are, what they see on air is kind of what, you're doing and the hours you're working, but there's a lot behind the scenes that people don't realize that, we're constantly doing, making calls, scheduling. So there is a lot. It's a full 8 hour day typically. Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild. Was it intimidating when you were starting out being behind the camera and knowing that you're about to share yourself with
Yes.
lots of people?
Yes, news is not something I ever thought I was going into, or nor being, a public figure on television or on commercials. When you go anywhere, I tend to see myself on the commercials, and it's still crazy. And people will recognize me sometimes, and it gets a little bit wild because you don't realize, people do really watch and people do really like this new show. So it's fun to kind of get feedback, and I think it can be intimidating at times to put yourself out there, for the public, but at the same time, it's a fun job and it's really rewarding, and I just love doing it. So I think that just kind of comes with it. And I don't think there's any reason to be nervous. I think starting out, everyone gets a little nervous, but as you kind of do it, you build that confidence up. And I think a lot of people would be surprised with how, much they can grow in this field.
So obviously you gained a lot of experience during your internship in preparing for this position. What were some things, classes or activities at SDSU that you did that you feel like prepared you for this position?
Yes, I would say a lot of the speech classes were really helpful. Just getting up in front of a class and being able to give a speech really helps you articulate and kind of learn just the different, styles of speaking and kind of what to do with your hands and all that type of stuff. And I'll say I wasn't, the most comfortable student public speaking, but I think it definitely put me out there to get used to it and definitely helps build, those skills. Other great classes. Wow, any communication class is just so helpful. I mean, even PR classes, marketing, things like that, I would say really helped me kind of learn a lot about the journalism industry too.
Just kind of a lot of little bits and pieces that work together to get you here.
Yes, and just attending, like I said, the career fairs and any opportunities you see. Sometimes we, as college kids get so busy and we think, is it worth it? Is it worth my time? And it absolutely is worth your time. I mean, it almost can be more valuable than a degree sometimes, where if you have that, go to the, it puts you aside from people that aren't going that day on that Saturday to a career fair. It kind of gives you those opportunities you may not even known about.
Yeah, that's great. And networking is really important. And that's one place where you can start. And it's a super open atmosphere because the employers are there to talk to you. You're there to talk to the employers. It gives you that open door already.
Yeah, networking is huge. Even after, you have your job, making sure that you know who's in the community, who, are players, who are marketers, who are PR, just knowing people who to talk to is really important, and being kind to everybody just helps open doors and just kind of helps. And even I'll get people reach out to me about, can I come and do this interview on the show? I just heard about it. And, and so it kind of helps just build those connections where you can have some really great stories and interviews, and opens the door for just more opportunities.
And to continue networking with people, do you use LinkedIn? Do you just use email check-ins and that kind of thing? Any conferences that have helped?
I've had LinkedIn, yes. I'm not super active on LinkedIn. I will say my major forms of communication are email. I would say that's really important. I also do have a public Facebook. I know people have their private Facebooks, but there is a feature where you can like start a page, which is more public, so you can even start it through that. And so I post a lot of my content from like interviews on there and things like that. Twitter, especially, if you're going to go into TV news, I would say Twitters are good, things like that. And just like being able to post your content, your stories, kind of pushing what you're doing on social media, because you can't really deny it. We live in a social media based, world. So that's, the news kind of has to evolve with that as well.
Cool. Yeah. And for anyone that missed it, Bailey recommends speech classes. She said they're helpful. So if you are dreading that Speech 101 class or any others going forward, they will help you in the future. We hear it from Bailey, who is actively graduated and working, that it's beneficial.
And I will say it is very intimidating, but once you graduate and you're out, you will not have to, like, no one's gonna remember that awful speech you gave where you got sweaty and didn't remember anything and screwed up. Nobody will remember. So at the end of the day, just don't take it too seriously. Don't get nervous, because that honestly is what makes you do worse is when you're nervous. So just not thinking anyone's watching and just truly being yourself and not overthinking it is just super important for speeches, for any public speaking, for putting yourself out there, for meeting a potential boss or employer. Like just being very relaxed, I think, kind of tricks people into thinking you know what you're doing, and you know, having that confidence, even overselling it, fake it till you make it, is just really important too.
I like it. Fake it till you make it. We'll get you a lot of places.
Especially when you're kind of transitioning from college to adult life, you know, you just gotta figure it out and kind of do those little steps to try to prepare you for adult life.
I like it. Have you found any? We talked about at the beginning, you were a little nervous. You know, it can be kind of intimidating. Were there any sayings you would say to yourself to help gain some confidence or like stress balls or anything like that?
I will say the best way to have confidence is knowing exactly what you're going to be saying, just preparing. So, you know, before I would have a live shot, because live shots are definitely my scariest thing when I first started reporting, because you're live, you're out, you know, on the field somewhere, anything could happen really. And so it's kind of nerve-wracking and you're off script. So you're trying to remember all the facts and make sure, you know, you have the address right, location, area, all that stuff. You want to make sure you're telling all the facts. So I think it's important just to keep rereading. I mean, write bullets. Don't write word for word what you're going to say, but just kind of write what you know, want to get out, the main points. And then, yeah, just I kept telling myself, you know, calm down, taking deep breaths is good. Just making sure you're breathing and, you know, not taking yourself too seriously, because at the end of the day, like I said, no one's going to remember the little mistake you made. Just making sure you have those facts straight is what's important.
That is great advice. Can be used professionally or while you're in school still. It's going to apply anywhere, really.
Yeah.
Right. So, just a quick recap on what we've talked about so far. So, we talked about how Bailey came to SDSU originally political science and switched over communications, and she's so glad that she did. It opened up a lot of avenues for her to see where she was going to go in the future. She recommends speech classes, even if they seem intimidating, and just different classes that get you experience. And having those internships that you can get from career fairs led her to her current career and job, and they can help you in that area as well. And we talked a little bit about the routine of being in the news isn't just when you're sitting behind the camera, but it's also all the background preparation and lots of emails.
Yes, it's a lot. It's just, you know, putting that work and just really, you know, taking every opportunity you really can, especially, you know, college students have so many great opportunities ahead of them. And I think at times we don't, you know, realize how many truly doors there are to open. So I think it's just great to keep your options open, attend those career fairs, you know, learn what you're learning in class. You know, don't just go to class and doze off, you know, go to class and learn the things that you're learning, because a lot of it is truly helpful, especially in communications, to being a great communicator, being a great employee, being a great coworker, and just kind of all those things.
That's great. And just one more question for me. Have you had any experiences where it's been difficult or challenging to connect with someone? And how did you handle that? And when did you decide that that interview wasn't worth the effort?
I will say, I would say you find a lot of times that some people maybe aren't comfortable public speaking. And that's, I think, you know, a big thing people run into. Not necessarily that, you know, they're talking too much or too little. It's more just they may be a little bit nervous. So they might kind of react by, you know, having short answers, or maybe, you know, they'll ramble on and have really long, lengthy answers. So I think just kind of gauging that, and again, being patient and understanding, working with them, it's a dance, you know, truly. It's like a dance where you're feeling how other people are. It's kind of that energy, you know, if they're not giving a lot, you know, saying, can you expand on that a little bit more? If they're not giving much, or you thinking of the always have the next question you want to ask kind of in the back of your mind, because it could be a really short one sentence answer. And you know, you kind of have to have that ready to go of like, okay, can you tell me more about that? Or what got you interested? And just kind of having different ways you can go with the conversation and having those options kind of at the top of your head or will really help get people out of their shell. And a lot of times people do tell me, I was so nervous. And I tell them, it's just a conversation. At the end of the day, we're just talking about what you're, you know, doing, what the event is. So making it more conversational helps people really relax, I feel like, instead of stressing them out more of it. being live or telling them like this is all live and we can't edit it, you know. So making it a conversation and asking people to ask more, or you know, sometimes you have to, you know, cut people off a little bit if your time cues are like that. You have to kind of say, well, thank you so much, and we'll have more later. And yeah, so I just think gauging people's responses and kind of understanding that everyone's different and not all, you know, one shoe fits all. So working with people and kind of being that leader to know when to back off or when to pursue a little bit more.
Okay, so not only are you practicing communication when you're talking with people and writing all those emails, but you're also taking the time to look at the person as a whole while in the middle of a conversation to adjust as needed.
Yes. But within the first couple of questions, you typically know if somebody's going to, you know, give a lot of response or give short responses, and then kind of knowing, okay, I need to have questions ready, or okay, I need to have less questions than I was going to originally ask because they're giving a lot more info. So I don't need to ask so many questions because they'll kind of lead the conversation more. So just kind of knowing when you need to lead and when you need to listen. So that's always important.
And do you come prepared with more questions every time, just have a lot of them, or do you ever go in with less questions?
I will say, this is maybe unpopular, but I don't usually write out questions before interviews. If you're starting out, I would say it doesn't hurt to help you if you are, you know, needing to be guided. But for me personally, it's kind of whatever works for everybody. I find that my interviews always go better when I don't have any questions written out, but I know what the topic is and I research the event, or I do my prior research of this is the event, this is the cost, this tickets are on sale. This kind of knowing about the interview topic is very important. But then as far as specific questions, I kind of just think of them as they come. So it really is like a conversation for me because I'm wondering these things, you know, I want to know these things. These are things that I would want to know. So it probably comes off more authentic to viewers because it's less forced questions.
Okay, that makes sense. Just having that actual conversation as you're going, when you talk to your friends, you don't usually have prepared questions. So that would make sense.
But I know a lot of people do sometimes like to have those questions as, you know, a fallback in case you find that you are out of questions. So I think it just depends how you are. And when you're starting out, probably doesn't hurt to have, you know, questions written down. When I reported, I brought a journal with questions. And it depends the topic too. If it's a serious, very important interview, I would say have some questions prepared. If it's more of an event or a fun parade or something like that, I think the conversation can be less forced or written or practiced.
Okay, that is great advice. All right, well, that's the end of my questions, but thank you so much for sharing all of your advice with us. And just, you've been out of school for just a couple years and already just lots of experience and things that you've learned on your own at your job. And before we close up, is there any other advice you have for students or recommendations of what they can do now to help them in the future?
I would say now just don't get too caught up in, you know, college and, you know, where you are now. Always be looking at the future and kind of, you know, ask yourself, what do I want? You know, what do I want out of life? What do I want out of a career? Where do I want to live? And kind of, you know, assess that for yourself and find something that matches that. Find something that you're truly passionate about that you want to do. You know, if you're not sure that you want to go into a field that you know, had studied, I would say go in and shadow, go in and, you know, try it out and see if it's something that you could see yourself doing. You know, don't be afraid to do things like that out of the box because those are the things that are gonna, you know, give you the best results at the end of the day.
This podcast is the property of the School of Communication and Journalism at South Dakota State University, which reserves all rights to its use. Music by Cody M. Johnson and Tyler Addison James is licensed through AMP Music.